Okay. Good morning. The Design Review Committee meeting of October 14th, 2021 is now open. My name is Todd Eisland. I'm the acting chair of the Design Review Committee. Before we proceed with the meeting, I would like to let the audience know who we are and explain the process for the meeting. The Design Review Committee is a volunteer committee appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to review and make recommendations on design review applications referred to it by the planning director. This committee consists of a variety of professionals and community members with expertise in site and building design, including such elements as architecture, landscape architecture, engineering, and graphic design. The process for the meeting today will be as follows. The Planning and Zoning Division staff will present a staff report. Then we will have the applicant go over their proposed plans and address any issues raised in the staff report. Next, although this is not a land use hearing, we will provide an opportunity for public comment. The applicant will then have an opportunity to respond. Finally, the committee will discuss whether the application complies with the approval criteria in the Zoning and Development Ordinance or can comply with appropriate conditions of approval. And the committee will vote on a recommendation. Although the committee is charged with making a recommendation on the application, the decision will be made by the planning director or designee. The planning director's decision may be appealed to the land use hearings officer by any party within 12 days of the decision. If you would like to provide comment, please sign in and clearly state your name for the record when you come forward to speak. If you would like a copy of the planning director's decision, please provide your address to staff. We will also ask that you testify one at a time, speaking clearly into the microphone as this meeting is being recorded. Are there any questions? If there are no questions, I'll open the meeting for the first file number on our agenda this morning and turn it over to Anthony.
Thank you very much, Todd. So the first application we have up today is file number Z0400-21, a redevelopment of a site at the intersection of McLaughlin and Concord. Let me go ahead and get my presentation shared. All right. Everyone seeing that pretty okay?
Yes.
Great. So as I mentioned, the application, the location is set at the intersection of Southeast McLaughlin and Southeast Concord, zoned general commercial. Two uses are proposed for the site, both of which are permitted. No overlay zoning or sensitive areas present in the area. Site currently is developed with a mix of commercial uses, including a restaurant, a delicatessen, and an engraving business. You can see here in the location map, The property actually consists of three separate parcels. There is a property line adjustment pending on the property to kind of reorganize some of these property lines in anticipation of the site's redevelopment. So I just want to, although that's not up for consideration necessarily today, it's a separate land use application being reviewed actually by another member of our team. Just wanted to flag that in case it was noted on the site plan. Again, McLaughlin. Or Oregon Highway 99, that's here, and then Concord there. What's being proposed is demolition of those buildings, construction of a new site circulation scheme. That scheme includes the elimination of one of the two driveways from Southeast Concord and turning access, the access currently off of Southeast McLaughlin into right-in only. The development of the site with two new buildings, one will serve as a bank branch and the other as a quick service restaurant with a drive-through. They're also proposed is a drive-through ATM lane that's separate from the bank branch building. And I'll highlight some of these elements when we look at the site plan here in a moment. Site development also includes new landscaping and stormwater infrastructure, as well as additional frontage improvements along McLaughlin and Concord and new street lighting or additional street lighting, I should say, along Southeast Concord. The site plan itself, again, Concord Road down here at the bottom of the drawing, McLaughlin / Highway 99 over here on the right side. The Chase Bank branch sits at the corner of the intersection. You can see right about here is where There's an existing turn in off of Concord to be eliminated with a two-way, right? I guess my mouse, is my cursor showing up in the drawing?
Yes.
Okay,
good. So right in this area is where that one of the two accesses off of Concord is to be eliminated. Back here, as far away from the intersection as possible, is where the two-way access off of Concord is located. And then up here, again, as far away from the intersection as possible, is where the right-in-only access is. Chase Bank here, Chipotle with the drive-through, or should I say, a quick-service restaurant proposed to be Chipotle, is up here. Drive-through lane circulates around the building. So basically you come in here, around the building, and out that way. Also that second kind of separate drive-through ATM up here in the north, I guess it'd be northwest corner. Landscape plan, a couple things about the landscape plan. Staff did note, you'll see that there are trees provided along Concord here. We do have a requirement in our code for street trees along the front of both frontages. So I've included a condition of approval for provision of some street trees along McLaughlin. I think that will probably have to be in consultation with ODOT, as I think they have some standards for vegetation along the right of way. And so we'll see kind of how those negotiate out. Ultimately, being an ODOT facility, we will probably defer to their standards, but we would love to see trees along there. One other thing I would just note about the site plan, the staff has every confidence that based on the site plan as drawn, you know, there are species and kind of it meets our standards for kind of the range of species, types of plants, seasonal variety and interest. One thing I did note is that just missing from the plant legend were the dimensions of some of the kind of trees and things at planted. So I did include a condition of approval that landscape plan be revised to include the, you know, the pot size for the various ground covers and shrubs, as well as the street trees. And then staff will also make sure that those dimensions comply with the standards in 1009.10. Quick look at the elevations. These are the four elevations for the Chase Bank. Broadly speaking, staff found them to be in compliance with our standards for articulation, materials, visual interest, breaking up large facades, which are pretty nice range of materials, tiles, a lot of glass, articulation of the facade. They're not all just flat walls, which is very good. Broadly speaking, we are A-okay with these elevations. Chipotle elevations, also pretty good. One thing that staff did notice is an awful lot of stucco, especially along this corridor where there is an emerging character for newer development of brick, tile, some stone. And so we are recommending a condition of approval that some of the lower portions of the building, particularly kind of along the ground plane here, be revised for with a brick veneer or something a little more durable and kind of permanent seeming than stucco. So it's certainly open to some discussion on that with the applicant and with the design review committee members to get their input on that. On the whole, staff's recommendation is for approval with conditions, and I'll run through some of those conditions now. As I mentioned with the Chipotle building, updating those elevation drawings, we're recommending approval for updating the elevation drawings with some additional durable facade materials along the lower body of the building, in keeping with the emerging character of that corridor, and then provide some ZDO citations to support that. Along the upper edge, we do have for flat roof buildings, we do have a requirement along the cornice edge to have kind of something to create additional visual interest. That can be some kind of a design element or even just a contrasting band. So we, as we say, you know, along that top of the building, put some kind of cornice or architectural treatment to provide visual interest at the top of that building. Condition for the provision of those street trees. Update the plant schedule to demonstrate compliance with the standards of our landscape ordinance 1009.10 in terms of plant spacing and maturity at planting. Work with our, I believe that the trash enclosure as shown is quite close to meeting the standards of 1021, but I want to make sure that our engineer, our sustainability division signs off, particularly because it's a mix of uses, one which would potentially generate quite a bit of paper, even though things are going digital, banks still have a fair amount of paper and shredding, as well as various kinds of waste streams associated with the Chipotle, whether it's oil, cooking oils or other food scraps. We'll want our sustainability program to make sure that the trash enclosure is adequately sized for all those different waste streams from those two buildings. And then make sure the drawings that come in for building permit show the site and frontage improvements that have been specified by our engineering division in compliance with section 1007.02. And those are detailed and laid out in some additional detail in the staff recommendation. Some other certificate of occupancy elements we'll be inspecting prior to certificate of occupancy to make sure all things are built, installed as described. A condition for the street lighting, as I mentioned earlier. Just kind of a second reminder that to meet all of the requirements of our engineering division for frontage improvements and dedications. And then just a additional condition of approval for signage. The signage was shown on the Chipotle building. I don't know that it was dimensioned necessarily. So just be aware that we'll be looking for the dimensions, placement, and extent of those signs of any proposed signs or any additional signage against our standards in ZDO 1010 at the time of the building permit for that sign. And those are the conditions associated with, proposed conditions associated with Z0400. That was a lot, so please, I'll be happy to take your questions and to engage in discussion on this at this time.
Anthony, thank you for the overview of the proposed project. My name is Laura McCaffrey. I am with EBI Consulting. We are the architecture firm that is heading up the overall development here, and all the site layout and things like that. So, in terms of the street trees, you know, we'll work with ODOT, but there are overhead power lines there as well. So, you know, species-wise, we may not be able to meet the diameter of trunk size because we are going to need some lower trees not to interfere with overhead power lines that run along McLaughlin.
Got it.
But we'll definitely work with your team on what those trees are and what we can get that everybody can be happy with.
Great.
I did have one question coming in on the comments on the letter that you'd sent us. Everyone along this corridor has the sidewalk curbside and then landscaping behind it. It actually allows for additional landscaping. On the written comments, you didn't address it today. It had called for flipping those and having landscape curbside with the vegetation and landscaping, or sorry, landscaping curbside, the sidewalk interior to that parcel, which is going to create some jogging as pedestrians traverse McLaughlin, the McLaughlin corridor. Is that going to be a condition of approval as well that we push that back?
I believe so. I mean, having the landscape buffer along the curb landscape sidewalk is the preferred cross-section for our engineering division, and that is the objective the direction they want the corridor and the direction that our comprehensive plan really specifies that the corridor evolve over time as sites redevelop. And so I think just from a, although no one's going to mistake McLaughlin for a great, luxurious pedestrian street currently, it will never get there if we don't try to evolve and kind of move the sidewalk a little bit further away from the right of way. It's something that I think if there are site features that make it impossible, I know that our engineering division has been willing to work with teams before, but I think that they start from the premise that the cross section as shown in the comprehensive plan is what they're going to require.
Anthony, this is Kevin Sanders. I'm the civil engineer from EBI. Could the condition of approval be written in a way that it can be said that we get approval from engineering and ODOT as the condition? Because this is, this is kind of a special situation where the typical cross-section may not work with this intersection, especially with Southeast Concord and McLaughlin, how they're going to work together with the turn lanes and stuff. So I think, and I just offer it up that the condition be that we have written approval from the engineering department and ODOT on our configuration as the condition of approval, if that's okay with the board.
So the condition would read something to the effect of frontage improvements. I guess we'd say like prior to issuance of building permit, applicant shall provide written approval from Oregon Department of Transportation and Clackamas County Engineering that proposed frontage improvements adequately address adequately meet their standards or adequately meet the intent of
the cross sections, you know, like yada yada yada, whatever, regulation.
I can imagine a condition being written like that. Especially in light of the fact that I would hate to have a condition written so stringently and so specifically to an exact dimensional cross section, only to find it's not feasible, and then have to ask your project team to come back and request a modification to that specific element of the condition after the fact, because it can't work.
Yeah, that would be great because it gives us some flexibility to work with ODOT and the engineering department to get something that works for both teams, and it doesn't pigeonhole us into a cross section that may not work.
Right. I think I'd be interested to hear what our design review committee members think. That's something I would be, from a staff perspective, I think I would be comfortable asking our engineering team if they're comfortable with that. But I would hate to run into committing to it without getting some additional input from our design review committee and our engineering division as well.
Anthony, this is Grant Hunter with Tyler Schmidt Architects, and we're heading up the Chipotle building. So we have already taken a look at adding brick veneer to the base and creating a contrasting band on the parapet, a little thicker, a little bit of projection from the wall.
Okay.
So do we need to send these revised elevations back to you, or is this something we just go in with permit on?
If you're comfortable with that condition, it sounds like maybe you're A-okay with them. Then what you can do is simply submit those revised drawings as your permit package, and I'll be checking against the conditions in the land use decision, the ultimate land use decision, when I'm reviewing those building permit drawings. So it's the condition isn't prior to submittal for building permit, it's prior to issuance. So you can submit the revised drawings. I'll check against the conditions on those drawings.
Great. Thank you.
Yep, you bet.
This is Aaron. I did have a question about the Chipotle elevation. I noticed it's got this rooftop access ladder on the exterior. There's probably not any specific condition that disallows that, but from a safety vandalism standpoint, I noticed the other building does not, and that maybe is just a bank standard. But it just kind of stood out to me on all the effort we make to kind of make these things look beautiful, and then we slap the ladder on the outside versus in like a janitorial closet on the inside. I agree with the brick element. I understand why somebody might not want to do that, but the thing that kind of jumped out to me more than that was the similar color of that drive-through vertical element with the stucco next to it. If you look at the chase elevations, there's this nice sort of breakup of those vertical elements, color and material-wise, from the main sort of horizontal base of the building. It seems like a great opportunity since you're introducing a new material there to maybe introduce a different color or some accent. Sort of like what you've done with that panel next to it. I'm not quite sure what that's for, other than maybe just to break up the blankness of that wall. I think it's described as some tubes with a different wall color behind it.
That is correct.
Is that a backdrop for a menu or some signage, or something like that?
No, it's just a lighting feature. There'll be a little bit of a light backlighting, some tubes with the accent color behind, just to, okay, like you said, to break up the wall.
Okay. I mean, and you know, this contrasting band element that they speak of. If you again, you go back to those other elevations, it's such a subtle thing. There's not really a cornice, and there's not really a top. It's just an accent band, right? And I think that's what you're talking about doing here for the Chipotle building, which is probably,
that's correct.
It's acceptable on the chase. I think it's acceptable here. I think it would look silly with a heavier cornice or something across the top. But yeah, that was my only comment.
Great. I can talk to Chipotle about the tower, the pickup window feature. They typically like to have these colors as kind of their branding.
Sure.
I can see if they're amenable to another accent color at that tower, possibly.
Aaron, out of curiosity, is it something of note that you would propose an additional condition of approval for?
No, I think what they're going to be addressing with regards to that cornice band and the, you know, that contrast color and the brick, we get there. I don't know that, I need to modify the potential branding opportunity there, but, it's just some observations.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like Aaron's comments about the ladder in particular. If there was some way we could move that to the interior, I think that would be appropriate. I also had a concern about, from setting a precedent standpoint, about not having a cornice on either building. Although I think the Chase building is very successful in accomplishing what we're after, there is no cornice as required by the ZBO. So do we need to make an exception to that and say this is acceptable in lieu of a cornice?
That's a very good question. Let me pull up that exact language. Okay, so for the code reads, for buildings other than industrial buildings with flat roofs or without visible roof surfaces, a cornice or other architectural treatment shall be used to provide visual interest to the top of the building. I think we can probably let it, so it doesn't necessarily need to specifically be a, like, you know, ornate cornice.
Right.
We could probably say that the contrasting band is in an other architectural treatment, which would, I guess, I don't know. I think that the contrasting band would meet. I'm comfortable with calling that another architectural treatment because at least it contrasts in a way, because it provides some kind of distinction or interest in contrast with the Chipotle elevations, where there may be a band, like a trim piece or termination there, but it doesn't contrast to kind of create that visual
top
termination.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I think it's a good solution. They've done a good job with this. It's very appropriate for the style of the building.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think...
You know, it's another way to look at this Chipotle elevation is that that entire upper piece really is kind of that horizontal band access corner. If you think of everything above the window, I realize it's tall, but, like, the goal is to provide that... that element, that upper piece, and in a way this does this probably more so than the other building, right? There's no sort of distinguishing top horizontal element, whereas this one, you know, has that white almost lid to it, other than maybe on the south elevation. So my point is I don't think we need to quibble about it, whether it's got a cornice or not. I think it's, if they provide some sort of contrasting element up at the top, it's going to suffice, and it'll be in line with what the building next door is doing.
Yeah, I think I agree with that and with the idea. I would be interested in a little more conversation, perhaps with the architect and designer about that ladder and whether it's. Like a operational necessity, or if it's how often are people getting on the roof? I guess.
They have pretty tight inside, so it's always a bit of a challenge to find an inside location for that ladder. I did another Chipotle recently where they were in a multi-tenant building, and we tried to put it inside, and they wanted it outside so that they had access to it at all times. And we brought up because I personally feel it's a security issue as well.
Yeah, they
really wanted it, and they've not had any issues with security on that in the past, as I understand.
Well, at least maybe paint the color of the building.
Yeah, that goes without saying. And I don't know that there's anything in the code that prevents it,
no,
per se. So it's really just, you've gone through, your effort, your design effort, and then you slap this on the outside. And I realize you end up with a fair bit of utility on the outside, regardless of the project. But
that ladder is actually in between the two buildings, so it's not a prominent elevation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So probably kind of.
It's right about there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not the street front. You're not going to see it as people traverse south down McLaughlin. You'll see that tower element at their drive through. It's the least visible of the elevations.
And I think we need to respond to Anthony's other comment about the curbside sidewalk. We've another redevelopment down McLaughlin, we have set that sidewalk back to allow for the planter strip. And I've heard from many of the people in the neighborhood there, that's been very desirable to get pedestrians away from the traffic further. People feel very unsafe out there. There are a lot of incidents with pedestrians along McLaughlin, trying to keep crossings at the corners rather than mid-block has been a huge concern.
What you're talking about feasibility-wise, can you go to the sort of side view where it shows a bit of section coming down from the road? Is it that being able to make that grade change? Let's see, I think it's one of the elevation views shows. I've got it open here on the side. It's sheet 4.3.
Let me get the one more. I will get that shared here. And just...
I mean, Todd, what we were asking for was just that the condition be worded in such a way, like, if our landscape area, because we have some grading differentials that we have to make up, there's over an 8-foot drop down to that intersection,
mm-hmm.
that if our landscape needs to be 9.5 feet instead of 10 feet, if ODOT signs off on it and, instead of saying, rigidly, this is where we need to be from a physical standpoint, if we can't make all of that work, are you guys okay writing the condition in the way that we'll pull the sidewalk back off the street, but maybe dimensionally it doesn't quite work that it is, we follow the design intent, And, you know, the condition is to follow design intent and get sign off from ODOT and from, you know, whichever other departments.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that makes sense. I mean, you've got constraints on the site you have to work within, and so.
Mm-hmm. Is there, Aaron, what sheet number was that you wanted me to
pull? 4.3. It's just a section through one of the buildings, probably the Chase building.
It's the Chase building.
And it just shows you the relative, and I don't know how accurate it is, but the relative height of the sidewalk as they have to come down to the building. So you move that sidewalk closer to the building, and now you've got a steeper pedestrian condition to account for. And I don't know if currently the site plan is showing rampage or if it's just, 5% slope coming down, but it looks like you're having to come down off the public sidewalk down towards the building. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. And is there, like, legitimate ramps with handrails and all that currently proposed?
Correct.
Yes. You can see right. So you're locked in on that vertical difference, right, to get down to the building. So I get that. Yeah, that's the one. So, and it shows on the site plan, too, you know, them coming down and having to take some distance to get down to meet the grade of the.
Right. And we'll definitely pull the sidewalk off. We can put some landscaping up on the sidewalk. We just don't, dimensionally, it may not be the exact dimensions per the code. The code, actually, that section says 10 feet of landscape, then 8 feet of sidewalk. But if we can't quite meet that 10, is, you know, if the condition's written strictly that we have to follow this exactly, that's where we may run into problems. If we can do 8 feet of landscaping before the sidewalk instead of 10 and everybody can agree to it, we don't have to come back to the commission. So
I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, we wouldn't have, you know, deciding authority on that anyway. We can just essentially say if they've got to make that modification, yeah, we don't need to see it again. So.
Okay.
Any additional further questions or conversation on this project?
Yeah. Yes. Could we go to the landscape plan?
Absolutely.
Okay. So just as far as the plant key legend, besides the counts and the sizes, it's really hard to
Apologies.
Way.
It's even more difficult now.
Now you can't read anything.
So the legend is you can see that the trees are half of everything, or maybe everything has been reduced. So it's graphically, it's hard to see what's what, because nothing is really the same size, or actually some things are, and the trees aren't, some of the shrubs aren't, some of the shrubs are. If that could all be, it would really help the contractors. I don't know that we require it, but it's kind of a.
Agreed.
If we go right down to where it says planting plan right here, that tree, that first tree, I just might check to make sure in general, the codes are like, 20 feet by 20 feet and with a visual triangle. That tree looks like it might need it, but it might need to be scooted, 3 or 4 or 5 feet away. I don't, or maybe that's not quite our code. Usually it's from the property line, 20 by 20 feet, or from the curb line, 20 by 20. So you might check on that. And then if we go up to the middle of the parking lot, you have an AutoCAD faux pas, I believe. We got trees with no canopy, if I'm not mistaken. You see the little triangles?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, to me, that's the dot in the center. This meeting is being recorded. It's right in front of my screen. I can't.
Oh,
is there any way of getting rid of that thing? I
I don't.
If you just hit accept on it, that you've accepted that it's being recorded and you want to stay in, it'll go away.
Can I just hit continue?
Yes.
Okay, continue. Okay, because it said leave meeting or continue. Okay, so you see the 4 or 5 major dots in the center of the, and see how there's a little triangles. You see how part of your, those are trees, I assume, the same trees that you have the two at the bottom, and then you got 1, 2, 3.
Correct.
There's no canopy. You see how they're,
mm-hmm.
It's an AutoCAD.
It is.
Correct. We got a graphic problem there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are trees.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, need to fix that, right? We also require evergreens trees on our project, and that would be you just need one. So we have an evergreen tree as part of our code.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what size; it can be a small one, you know. The irrigation, it says that it's going to be a drip system, and essentially it says drip, the irrigation plan is essentially drip everything, but there says that there's details of the drip system on the detail sheet, L5.10. There's not one detail of the drip system. You're going to end up with, it's just the point of connection and, master valve for a irrigation system, for a drip system seems a little Cadillac. But, you're just going to end up with a bunch of that brown plastic when they bid on this thing, scattered, snaked all over the ground instead of a real professional drip system with emitters. Spray systems are actually cheaper to install than a properly installed drip system like they do in California. Here they just, the guy who's just the lowest bidder just says drip system and just buys a bunch of that brown plastic tube, snakes it all over and says, there it is, and hooks it up. So I think that's up to the client, I guess. Those are my comments.
Okay, I'll sit, looks like that conversation back offline with my client.
Great. And Daryl, thanks for flagging the evergreen tree. I will add a condition of approval to make sure that the landscape plan is modified to include at least one evergreen tree. That was a miss on my part, so thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, no problem. I missed your other comments. Cool. Yeah, so anyway.
We kind of jumped around a little out of order today. We should have asked for comments from the public. I don't believe there is anyone from the public here today, but we should acknowledge that for the hearing.
In the waiting room, I still have Kristen Ashenfelter, Mike Jenkins, or Stuart Moore. Are those any folks who are associated with the projects? And if they are listening in and they want to, they are a member of the public and
I just remember
raising their hands and they can.
They're all part of our team.
Okay, copy that. Just didn't want them to let them go unacknowledged.
Hey, this is Chetimer. I wasn't sure here. I couldn't understand or see where's the stormwater going from this project, or is that just being tied into the existing system?
Sorry, I was on mute. So what we're doing right now is we're collecting the stormwater runoff from the site. I have the plan up. If you can give me control, I can just show it real quick.
I'm almost there.
Okay.
So many graphs. There we go.
Yeah, that's a drain map. We can go over that. I just show you what's going on. So essentially what we have is the site pretty much all drains down to the southeast Concord area. And then there's a small area just south of the Chase that goes off that would go into the McLaughlin drainage system. But it's very small and it's mostly landscaping. So essentially what we're doing is we're taking the Chipotle and the Chase and we're putting the roof runoff into underground systems, which will infiltrate. And then they have overflows that under very high storms, you know, past the 100-year storm, it will overflow into the drainage system. The rest of the site is collected with catch basins that go down to a stormwater quality unit, which cleans the water, and then it goes out to the system. And under proposed conditions, it's less in all the storms than under existing. So we are reducing the peak rates, and we're providing infiltration on site as well. So pretty simple drainage system.
We're
going to
be late.
So I don't know if there's any other specific comments.
This is fine. This is fine. That worked great.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding this application? Would somebody like to make a motion?
This is Aaron. I move that we vote to approve our a recommendation for approval from the Design Review Committee, including the conditions that Anthony has presented, as well as the added condition that if through the engineering process they find out that they need to adjust those constraints for the curb standard and planter standard, that that is not something that needs to come back to design review. Sorry, that was not succinct. But
I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Did we want to add a condition? Okay, I'll just add the condition for the additional evergreen.
For the evergreen, right.
Okay. Were there any other points of conversation that – any conversation, I guess, on that? Sorry, Todd, I'm stepping on your role here.
That's all.
The chair.
Would somebody like to second that?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I think this is going to be a great application and a great project moving forward. Thank you.
Yeah, if I could just say, my wife and I, were the first places we ate was Gigi's Diner when we moved to Portland. I don't know why that was, but when this came in, I thought, wow, it's finally becoming something else. I was sad to see it close, but I like Chipotle too, so.
There's a lot of history there, but I think your comments are kind of echoed across the board. Everybody's going to be sad to see Gigi's go by the wayside, but happy to see Chipotle in there.
Yeah.
And Chase Bank.
Yeah.
Well, hey, everybody, I appreciate your consideration of looking at this. I think it's going to be a good application for the site. You know, one other comment, I think we'll look at that tree that is close to the in and out ingress egress on Concord as it relates to sight line and how close that is and how that marries up with the street lights that are on Concord.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Just so this project team knows, I will be incorporating, kind of finalizing the staff decision on this and adding some language from our conversation today. And my goal is to have it issued by end of the day today. So looking to get it out the door.
Perfect. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
We have one more application to hear.
We do.
You want to go ahead and staff report, Anthony?
Absolutely. Let me just get my PowerPoint up to that page. All right, so this application, Z04281, is an 8-unit apartment building set on Southeast Jansen Road between Southeast 90th and 91st. The site itself is zoned high-density residential, and then the properties adjoining or adjacent are a combination of high-density residential, light industrial, and general commercial. Like the site before, there aren't any sensitive areas, habitat, or preservation overlays. The site is currently vacant. See the site here, set kind of this diagonal line. The north of the site is Southeast Jansen, and then Southeast 90th and 91st flank on the east and west. What's being proposed is development of the site with 1 8-unit apartment building with a mix including 1 1-bedroom apartment, 6 2-bedroom apartments, 1 3-bedroom apartment, as well as development of the site with new parking, circulation, landscaping, and the required stormwater management stuff. There will be some additional frontage improvements and street lighting required along the frontages with the development for our comprehensive plan and ZDO. A look at the site plan here. So it's, the parking area will be over here. It's proposed to be over here on the east side of the building, with the building set along Southeast Jansen, on the west side, required play area to the rear, trash enclosure in the parking lot. Some landscaped area you'll see here around the parking lot and at the corner, as well as around the building. A look at the elevations. Fairly straightforward, I think, multifamily residential elevation profile. Variety of kind of pattern and texture in the width of the siding, pitched roofs that project the required, at least the 24 inches from the facade. We're recommending approval with conditions. One thing to know, because the applicant did, I think, a fairly nice job of designing this small multifamily building. Housing projects, we're termed necessary housing or needed housing. We can only provide clear and objective standards. So many of our facade design standards are somewhat subjective because they talk about things like compatibility and aesthetic appeal and various things that are not dimensional or clear and objective. So I definitely appreciate the care that's been taken to put the building together, and the care that was taken in describing the way in which the facade design complies with our building design standards. You may note in the staff recommendation, many of those areas were kind of seemingly glossed over, not because we don't care. I do very much care, but I'm only allowed to apply clear and objective standards. So please don't take the pert or kind of summary nature of the review of the language as it relates to the building for a lack of interest. Fairly straightforward list of conditions of approval. Again, looking at the trash and recycling enclosure, we'll go out to inspect to make sure that the site is developed as kind of proposed. We did get some information back that all three of these frontages will require street lighting and to be added to the service district for street lighting. So there'll be a condition of approval for that, as well as one just to make sure that future signs will comply with the standards of ZDO 1010, as well as the requirements of our engineering division, which, as before, were detailed listed in greater detail in the staff recommendation. But many of those are development requirements that exist outside of the zoning and development ordinance that would apply to any development and are not necessarily zoning code requirements and thus may not actually be subject to appeal. We advise that they're necessary. With that, staff is recommending approval with those conditions. glad to have questions on the application or to engage in discussion on it.
Do we have any comments from
the public?
Public on this?
In terms of like submitted comments, like via email or phone, or we didn't receive any comments from the public for like surrounding properties or like a community planning organization.
And is anyone from the public in attendance here?
Let me take a look at our. There are everybody who is here is in the panelists, so okay. We don't have anybody in the waiting room.
Do we have any comments from the applicant or additional information we'd like to add?
I don't believe we have any additional information to add at this time. The developer is, I believe, still online, and so I can turn this over to him if he has any questions. Cole?
No, I don't have any specific questions at this point.
Okay. And I guess I'd like to open it up for discussion with our committee.
This is Aaron. I was happy to see this application. This is an area I think that's ripe for some multifamily density. The character of the neighborhood now is pretty patchwork, and something like this really starts to, I think, introduce what that neighborhood would really benefit from. It's so like proximate to transit and so many things, so to have more people there makes sense. And I know this is a tight little site. I think you did a nice job customizing this little apartment building for this site. It's so often you see real cookie cutter unit next to unit next to unit, and if you look at the floor plan of this, there's literally four custom units on the first floor. And that really adds to the variety of what you were able to do on the outside. So I commend you for a nice set of drawings, a nice design. I think it's appropriate, and I support it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with those comments, and I really like the variation and the massing and the human scale to it. I think it's going to be a very nice addition to the neighborhood here.
I would agree also.
Daryl, any comments?
Well, if we could go to the landscape plan.
Of course. Let me pull up one that I can zoom. Make sure I'm sharing the right screen. Okay, there we go.
So there again, the legend, like the other comment, it's not quite reciprocal with the plans as far as the graphics. It's nicer for the contractor if everything is on the same size. So it says that we have a code, if Anthony could corroborate this, that says that only so much area can be used for so much lawn can be used if it's not recreational space. So if we can go down to the bottom where it says it says everything is going to be, and then it said on the other plan it said recreational space in here, correct?
This area, yeah, this triangle of space.
So that area can all be lawn with no to meet our code. as long as, and I'm assuming, is this residential down below here? Don't we have a code for a landscape screen and is this residential to the south?
It is. Like it in the area, yeah.
Right here? Is this
residential? Yeah. Down along the southern property line is also residential, yes.
So don't we have a requirement for a evergreen, 6-foot evergreen screen and trees 15 or 30 feet on center along between residential properties?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've applied that to the vehicle maneuvering area, and the trash enclosure is screened. We did not apply that to the residential recreational area.
Yeah, I think it applies if Anthony's going to, you know, he's the authority on that, about that we still need a screen in between residential areas for, he can clarify that. So anyway, as much as that area needs to be lawn is fine because it's all recreation except for the screen to the south. But everything else you say is also lawn. And I'm not sure, I can't remember if it's 20% of the landscaping or 10 or 15% of the landscaping can't exceed those codes. And I'm assuming that we're having lawn from the west property line all the way to the curb, and where there's these the three trees, the two evergreens and the deciduous tree.
That's right away.
So that's all going to be lawn too.
That's right away. We haven't designated anything other than lawn for that.
Yeah. Well, the landscaping is required from the property line to the sidewalk and even beyond if it goes, you know, if there's a planting strip. But I'm not sure how that works out as far as the percentage of lawn. If it's all going to be lawn, you may have, and then you have lawn up above the other parking lot. So that probably needs to be, it needs to meet our code. However, I don't have the thing memorized. So
I can chime in there potentially.
If you could clarify some of these things.
Yeah. So, in terms of the minimum landscaped area, a percentage of the minimum, so I believe it's a 15% minimum in the high density residential. There is a 10%, I believe it's 10% of that 15% or 1.5% of the total site area can be lawn. That counts towards that 15%. So if the other landscaped areas on the site, so the buffer, parking lot, stormwater infiltration, these beds, planting around here, and other areas, if those areas total at least, I guess it would be 13.5% of the site area, then an additional 1.5% of the site area of lawn could contribute to meet the minimum landscaping area. So once they've met the minimum landscape area, any remaining portion can be done in lawn. There's a basically the restriction on turf lawn is a percentage of the minimum landscape requirement that can be in turf lawn, if that makes sense.
Okay, understood. We'll double check that. And just to clarify, that 15% applies to the parcel proper and not the right of way, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, and it also does not apply to the recreational space that you're providing, because I think we can provide, if I'm not mistaken, we could provide as much recreational space in lawn, but you can't provide as you want, but you can't provide just decorative lawn, like, and say, oh, the entire thing is going to be lawn. If I, if so anyway, there's a little bit of a you're going to have to juggle that. But that triangle seems like it's more or less exempt from the other lawn criteria because it's for recreational space. If it's for decorative space, then there you can't. You have to have this percentage of the total landscaping, and you'll have to review that and then start cranking out your numbers. So that was that comment. You got. I assume, and it looks like the screening for Southwest 91st for the parking lots, that all those shrubs are going to be 3 feet higher, 3 feet or taller along there. It looks like that's in compliance. And then I'm not sure that I saw a comment about or a note that said that this entire thing will be irrigated with an automatic irrigation system. Maybe I just missed that. I have all these reduced sheets, so it's hard for me to read.
Okay, so keynote one, we're going to utilize the existing water meter service for irrigation. So is that the note you're looking for?
Well, we need an irrigation. This is there'll be an automatic irrigation system provided for this property.
Yes.
Let's say designed by others.
Oh, okay. So it's there. Okay. That's my comments.
Anthony, can I circle back to that right away? I just had a quick question. I noticed that they're improving the right of way, widening it along 91st and Jansen. What's the thinking behind, is it 90th going that way or 89th? Sorry. The other one, 90th. The other side. Yeah. So in the future, right, if somebody develops a property south of this, it seems as though they're going to be required to put the sidewalk where it's supposed to be. Is it already where it's supposed to be? It doesn't seem quite right, given what, you know, usually the property line to right away distance.
There's a lot of infrastructure through there.
Is there?
Yeah, the right away is offset on purpose because of natural gas and other lines.
That makes sense. Okay, just asking. Thank you.
Is there any fencing to the south of the property proposed, Dan?
There's a fence now on the existing residence, it looks like, from the aerial.
Dan, is a fence, I don't recall a fence being proposed. Is
there? There's not one called out on the plans right now.
Yeah, we don't show one on the plans. I'd have to defer that to Cole if he had a desire for that or not.
Cole, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, not at this point. I think the properties to the south are going to be, we've talked to those owners as well, and at some point they'll probably be sold off and then something similar to this will happen there. And at this point, we're not looking to do a fence. So, and like they mentioned, there's already, I think it's a cyclone fence all the way across there, if I remember.
Yeah, it looks fairly new in the Google Street View, the 6 foot fence that's already there.
Yeah.
Is that an acceptable buffer, Anthony, or is a dedicated buffer required?
It's an interesting question because So when we talk about buffering, what the code says is buffering shall be used to mitigate adverse visual impacts, dust, noise, or pollution. Special consideration given to buffering between residential uses and commercial or industrial uses. Somewhat distinct. I mean, there was an application a while back where there was a multifamily project, I believe it was up on the mountain, that came through, or it was going to be an apartment complex directly adjacent to an existing single-family neighborhood. And in that case, the intensity of the uses, although they were both residential uses, the intensities were so disparate, and there was enough concern from the neighbors adjacent that we found it kind of appropriate to require additional buffering, to kind of put that additional buffering requirement in place. In this case, and I believe in that case also there was a zoning boundary between those properties. that one that allows multifamily residential versus one that allows only single family. In this case, though there are single family developed properties that are developed as single family residences to the south, they are zoned for high density residential, and we haven't heard any particular concerns about the disparate use from the neighborhood. So I think it's an open question. It's an area where I think the ordinance gives the authority to mitigate against an adverse impact, but I don't know. I think it's a conversation worth having, but there is not necessarily a hard and fast thou shalt must in this case.
Okay, that was our understanding as well. That's why we did focus on, you know, a substantial vegetative buffer for the vehicle areas.
And buffering around their circulation and parking area is indeed required. So that was,
the rules are all changing with needed housing, so.
Right. So I guess I'm, if it is the wisdom of, our design review committee that perhaps a landscape buffer, you know, for instance, maybe a 5-foot vegetated bed with fast-growing evergreen species to the interior of that fence might be appropriate in this context. I would certainly, you know, that's a recommended condition that could be made.
Alternatively, if they develop the property to the south, maybe these playground areas get combined. I don't know.
Potentially, I mean, that would end up, I mean, it's hard to speculate on what may or may not happen, with that adjacent property. I think we have to look today as to what the conditions are today, absent some other pending development proposal on that property.
The reality is we're not, like, I'm not opposed to adding something across there. It's minimal cost. So if, you know, the design committee feels like that's in the best interest, I'm not opposed to that. And if it was some huge cost that we really needed to dig into, but that's, you know, not a major concern.
I don't think we need to do like a 8-foot high cinder block wall or anything like that.
That would be a concern.
Yeah. Sorry, that's a half a joke that Dan gets.
Yes, sir. I thought you were going to say 10-foot.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, I'm softening in my old age.
Well, from a design perspective, you're creating a sense of, you know, the classic sense of place by creating that space and that containment. It'll actually look, you know, be a lot nicer if you've got some screening in between and give people more of a sense of place. And then I had another comment, that the building, there's a right where the recreational space is. There's looks like there's two entrances, but one of them has a door, and I'm wondering if you that's right where the recreational space is to the south there. That door, do you walk across?
No, they're garden patios, and they're currently shown an elevation to be fenced off.
Okay, so they're garden patios, so they're at ground level.
Yeah.
Well, then you should just have so there's access. Is that a rail, though? I mean, can you walk out into the landscape from there?
No.
Okay, so you can't walk out into the landscape. So there's no reason to tie the lawn. There's okay if there's ground cover in between. I thought you were blocking off the access.
Yeah, it sort of looks like that. When you look at the elevations, those patios are secured.
Okay. So yeah, you can't. You got to climb over the rail or whatever to get to the outdoor site.
Some kid will definitely do that.
Okay, but okay, I understand. No problem. It just looked like you had a. Does that other one have a door? The one of them had a door. How do you get to the other patio?
Actually, the door's on our site plan is incomplete on that side. It should show an interior door.
Oh, it should be, mirror image. Okay. All right. So that was, I guess, Hey, you architects are supposed to pick that up.
We knew their intent.
Oh, right. Of course, you knew what you were
going to say.
Oh, any further discussion? Or?
I move that we approve this application. I recommend to approve with the added condition that they consider adding the landscape buffering along the southern edge to provide that sense of place as was discussed.
Discussion or a second?
Just to, as a discussion point, just so I want to make sure I provide a clear language in the condition. In terms of the landscape hedge along landscape buffer along the southern boundary, would a landscape bed 5 feet in depth with a fast growing evergreen species to form a continuous hedge be an acceptable condition?
I think we have trees on another project. Yeah, I believe we have a trees so many feet on center that are required along there, too.
I think that was for industrial projects.
Oh, that are adjacent to?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No problem. I'm just trying to follow code.
Cool.
That sounds acceptable to me. Is everyone in concurrence with that?
Yes.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. I think this is going to be a great project.
Good job, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone. Like the project before, my goal for between now and early afternoon is to get these into the recommendations into decision form. They're most of the way there already, and get them out in by email today and in today's mail. So,
excellent.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Ciao.
See you, girls.
Just as a preview of coming attractions for our design review committee members. Trying to think. I don't know that I have one in the door right now, but there are some pending pre-applications for some pretty significant new industrial space down in the Clackamas industrial area. So that and some interest in multifamily along the 82nd Avenue corridor on both sides of the street, including one, believe it or not, maybe, just maybe, at the Clackamas Town Center site itself. So, you know, exciting times.
Good.
Yeah, nothing in the door right now. We'll advise as stuff comes in.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.